On this third Sunday in Advent, welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to this service of worship of Cornerstone Presbyterian Church. Dear friends in the Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it. We are very excited about our upcoming Christmas service of song and scripture to take place next Sunday evening, Lord willing, at 5 p.m. It's all coming together in terms of the planning for the music and the scripture lessons, and we are most eager to have a word of this service get out to our community. And you've seen in the newsletter that I've put the invitation in electronic form, if you're able to post that on social media. We also have some postcards printed out in the back of the auditorium that you could distribute to friends and family. We are most eager to see this become an opportunity for many to join with us in growing to understand and worship the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Also, we've asked folks to bring a dozen Christmas cookies to share. We're going to have a time of fellowship in the fellowship hall after the service concludes. If you're able to bring those next Sunday morning so that we can get that all arranged prior to the service in the evening, that would be extremely helpful. As we prepare to worship the Lord together this morning, let's take just a few moments to quiet our hearts before Him, to ask for His grace and His mercy to fall upon us as we praise and honor Him. Let's pray silently at this time. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, hear now the prayers of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. And at this time, as we prepare to worship the Lord together, won't you please join me in standing as I read our call to worship this morning taken from Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, beginning with verse 5. And now the Lord says, He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise. Princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And this chosen one of the Lord, to whom God speaks here, is none other than Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior, a light to the ends of the earth. And in the name of Jesus, receive this greeting from your God this morning. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to our God in prayer today. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you this morning that you sent Jesus into the world so that the light of your salvation might extend into the nations and indeed into the very ends of the earth. Father, as we are here gathered today, we are living evidence that through Jesus Christ you are bringing a people to know you and to worship you and to live with you both now and forevermore. For we are gathered here today in the name of Jesus because of the great work of salvation that he has worked for us. Father, we thank you today that Jesus saved us by being the one abhorred, that he came into the world and men despised him, and that by going to the suffering of the cross, he secured our salvation, for he was indeed our sin bearer. And we thank you that through the bearing of our sin, the pardoning of our iniquities, that he has made a new and living way into your glorious and holy presence. And our God, in Jesus Christ, we meet you today unafraid. Father, bless us now by the working of your Spirit. And by your Spirit, give us faith. By your Spirit, give us love. By your Spirit, give us hope. And by your Spirit, grant us unity and peace as your people. For we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we praise our God together this morning, won't you please join with me in turning to hymn 208 as we remain standing to sing together, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Won't you please remain standing and take out your worship bulletins where our confession of faith is printed on the first page. So we have just declared together this morning our intention to adore Christ Jesus the Lord, to exalt him as the one who is God of God. And indeed, he comes forth from us as God's very Son. And yet as he draws near to us, he draws near as well in humility for the sake of our salvation. And so it is that our confession of faith this morning helps us to understand the humility of Jesus in order to secure our salvation from sin and death. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you believe about Jesus, the Redeemer? I believe that the estate of Christ's humiliation was that low condition wherein, for our sakes, emptying himself of his glory, he took upon himself the form of a servant in his conception and birth, life, death, and after his death, until his resurrection. I believe that Christ humbled himself in his conception and birth, in that, being from all eternity the Son of God, he was pleased in the fullness of time to become the Son of Man, made of a woman of low estate, and to be born of her with many circumstances of more than ordinary abasement. I believe that Christ humbled himself in his life by subjecting himself to the law, which he perfectly fulfilled, and by conflicting with the indignities of the world, temptations of Satan, and infirmities of the flesh, whether common to the nature of man or particularly accompanying his low condition. I believe that Christ humbled himself in his death, in that having been betrayed by Judas, forsaken by his disciples, scorned and rejected by the world, condemned by Pilate, and tormented by his persecutors, having also conflicted with the terrors of death and the power of darkness, and felt and borne the weight of God's wrath, he laid down his life, an offering for sin, enduring the painful, shameful, and cursed death of the cross. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. You may be seated, please. And as we think about that remarkably thorough and biblical account of Christ's humility, we think of how this confession of faith began, that humiliation was for our sakes, that all that he did in his conception and birth, in his life, and in his dying was for our sakes. These things were absolutely essential and necessary to fall upon him, that you and I might be saved from sin and from sin's rightful condemnation of death itself. As we think of how it is that God in Christ has redeemed us from sin and sin's curse of death, that all that Jesus has done, he's done for our sakes, I'd ask that you follow along as I read from the book of Joshua, the second chapter, verses 1 through 24, for our scripture reading this morning, a scripture reading that points us to one particular figure in the Old Testament, whom we will learn a little bit more about later on in our worship service as we study Hebrews chapter 11 together, a woman by the name of Rahab. And as we learn about Rahab here, we learn about the full extent of God's grace, that someone in her condition, as she responds to the message of God's great grace by faith, would in fact be saved from sin and from death. And so we find in Joshua chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, 'Go, view the land, especially Jericho.' And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, 'Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, 'True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that, as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way." The men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then, if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us." Thus far the reading of God's word. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word this morning. Let's respond to God's word by turning to him again in prayer. Let's pray this morning. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, we do celebrate and worship Jesus Christ, the one who did not abhor the virgin's womb, but though he was very God, took to himself human nature in humility, so that through the humiliation of his conception and birth, throughout the humiliation of his life here on this earth, throughout the humiliation of his betrayal, suffering and death on Calvary's cross, he has done all of these things for our sake, so that by his suffering, by his humiliation, by the things that he endured, we ourselves would be delivered from the due penalty, the just deserving of our sin. Father, as we are here this morning, we recognize that in an important sense, we are all Rahab, that we are all of all those who deserve to fall under your wrath and curse on account of our sin, the sin we inherit from Adam, the sin we commit in our own lives. And yet, Father, as we are here this morning, like Rahab, our hearts melting in fear in light of your wrath to come, we thank you that we are also to be like Rahab, who in faith, the boldness and audacity of faith, dared to ask for what she did not deserve, even her deliverance from death. And because of the work of Jesus this morning, O God, we cry out to you to not treat us as our sin deserves, but rather in accordance with your mercy and your loving kindness and your steadfast love towards all those who call upon your name. And Father, we are also to be Rahab in the way in which we understand that salvation is not merely for our own sake, but she was also so eager to have her household join with her in being delivered from death. And Father, to that end, we ask that as you would astound us and amaze us time after time regarding the free grace that you give to us in Jesus and the salvation that is ours through him, we pray, Lord, that we would not simply be contented to know this joy for our own sake, but Father, like Rahab, that we would delight to see others saved as well. Dear God, to that end, we continue to ask that you would be blessing our work as a congregation of Jesus in making the light of the gospel known within our community. Father, we come up to another kids' club meeting this Wednesday, and once again we ask that you would bless that gathering, as it has continued to provide an opportunity for us to pour our lives into these children from our immediate neighborhood and community. Father, we pray that nothing would hinder that meeting this coming Wednesday, in particular as we think about the weather that so often closes in this time of year. And Father, we pray too for the Christmas service of song and scripture scheduled for next Sunday evening, and how we would delight to see so many join with us from Kids Club and from other places within our community, so that together we might rejoice at the wonder of your love expressed in the child born in Bethlehem. Father, we pray for Jan, our outreach coordinator, and we ask that your wisdom and strength would be given to her as in so many ways she leads us and provides that interface with our community that demonstrates that we are a church eager to show love to others. And yet, Father, we understand that this cannot be simply one person's burden to bear. And so we ask, Lord, that you would give us all a vision and a unified sense of how you are calling us to make Christ known here in the community where you have set us. Father, we go back to our call to worship, where you declared to Jesus, the servant who you were sending into the world, that it would be too small a thing for him merely to redeem the children of Israel. Instead, it was for his glory that he would become a light to the nations. Father, help us to understand that this is not only about the salvation of souls. This is about the glory of Christ, that he would be made known as one whose mercy is boundless and whose sacrifice is more than sufficient to bring all to himself as faith and repentance are exercised. Father, as we gather together this morning, knowing the peace and joy and comfort of Christ, we do ask that you would be watching over us in all of our need and weakness. Father, we pray that you would be with us when we are weak and needy of body. Father, we pray that you would be with us when we are discouraged in our souls. Father, we pray that you would be near to us when we are lonely and on our own. We pray, Lord, that you would be near to us even in those moments when we are tempted towards despair. And Father, we understand that sometimes even this holiday season, with all of the constant call to joy and peace, can sometimes have the very opposite effect in our souls as we look at our lives and see instead disappointment and bitterness and frustration. Father, won't you draw near to us in a very special way in our need? We pray that you would continue to be with those who are unable to join us because of physical infirmity. We pray for Ron and Carolyn. We pray for Doris. We pray for others who are not here with us regularly, but who do unite with us, especially in following our services online. Father, we pray your presence would be near to cheer, to guide, and to draw them closer to yourself. Father, we would pray especially this morning for our dear friend and brother Ryan and his wife Alyssa and their family as they serve you in Washington State. And it has been communicated that in some fashion Ryan has pretty badly injured his wrist. And not only does that injury cause him at this point tremendous pain, but it's also led to disability in his hand. And at this point, there is no clear prognosis for healing. And so, Lord, in light of this young husband and father and pastor being in such a difficult place, we ask that your mercy would fall upon him, that you would be close to him, that you would bring healing to his body and encouragement to his spirit. Father, we pray too at this time for Steve and Julie as they prepare to move to New Jersey in light of the ministry opportunity that Steve has at Community Bible Church in Neptune, New Jersey. Father, we know that this is a big transition, but also one that they are greatly anticipating. And so, Lord, we ask that you would prepare the way before them, that you would strengthen them for this new season of life, and that you would use them richly by the teaching and by the example that they bring amongst the saints there in Neptune. Father, we thank you that you are a God who continues to grow his church. And we pray, Lord, that you would use Steve and Julie to advance your kingdom in that place. Father, we pray as well for our dear brother Sam as he and Unsu minister in Asia. And Sam has reported this week, Lord, that we need to be praying for the church in that land, a land that we dare not name because we don't want to bring any difficulties upon this work. We pray, Lord, for Pastor P, who is experiencing interrogation trauma, the way in which he has been mistreated by the authorities because of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Be with him, Lord, as he heals body and soul. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep him from shrinking back, that even though he's been through difficult times, that he would continue to be bold and courageous in speaking for Jesus. We pray, too, as well, Lord, for Mr. C, for Mr. M, and for other ministerial candidates who are being licensed or who are preparing for seminary. Father, we know that your church, ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ, is a church that is to be pastored and shepherded by those who are called and equipped for this task. And we pray, Lord, that the church in this land that we are praying for would not be neglected in that regard. Father, we thank you as well that the lockdown there attributed to COVID, at least in the region where Pastor Sam is ministering, has been lifted, and that this enables the church to gather for worship and for edification. Lord, this is a cause for much celebration, and we pray, Lord, that your people would gather boldly and joyfully to celebrate your goodness through Jesus. Father, we thank you today that truly it is our great privilege to know that you sent Jesus into the world to be a light for the nations so that your salvation would extend to the ends of the earth. Lord, for your glory, for your name's sake, continue to bring men and women and boys and girls to yourself so that with happy hearts, with joy-filled lips, we might declare the wonders of Him who called us from darkness into everlasting light. Be with us now, O God, and be pleased to hear our praises as they are mingled with those throughout the world who declare Your glory today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And it is our joy this morning not only to worship God with our lips, but also with the very nature of our lives, giving to Him now tithes and offerings for His praise.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for all these gifts that You have poured out upon us, the gift of salvation through Your Son, Jesus. And this time of year, we get so busy and stressed out a lot of times that we kind of put that in the background of our minds. And we just pray, Lord, that that would be brought forward and made fresh in our hearts, and we would just ponder this great gift of salvation and let it propel us in our lives to be generous and giving people to the people around us in such a needy world. And to that end, we pray these offerings would be used to continue to build Your kingdom on this earth, Lord, until You return again. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please remain standing with me and turn in your hymn books to hymn 193 as we sing a hymn of preparation together. Let all mortal flesh keep silence.
Thank you.
seated, please.